about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, that your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our in-studio guests in just a few moments, but we invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. And let me remind you, if you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a great day to start that very important habit of getting to God's Word every single day. Psalm 27, starting at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful, the powerful, and the empowering gift your precious word is to each and every one of us. Thank you for the opportunity for us to hear from you every single day of our lives as we simply open your word and listen to you as you speak words of power, words of wisdom, words of counsel, words of life that will bless us and empower us and strengthen us to be able to live and walk and run a victorious journey. Lord, help us to grow in our love for your word and our commitment to reading it and walking in it daily. And help us to be faithful to teach and train our children to get into your word daily as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're grateful to have with us once again Tanya and Artrell Brooks. And they were with us a couple of months or so ago, but it's great to have them with us. And also this time we have Tanya's mother with us, Ms. Jefferson, and we're grateful to have her in studio as well. And so we'll be hearing from Artrell a little later. But Tanya, good to have you once again.
I'm blessed to be here again.
All righty. And as we start off, Tanya, I'm just going to ask if you'll kind of reintroduce yourself to our listeners and go ahead and just share. You have such a powerful testimony, a story of just a journey of great grace. If you'll just go ahead and share with our listeners, tell a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Tanya Brooks, and I was here before, and I want to reiterate on what I talked about before. I'm 35 years old, and God has blessed me to see that. But I am a child of conception. My mother was raped 35 years ago, and from that rape, I was conceived. And I'm here to tell my story because many times when you talk about children of victims who've been raped, a lot the question is, will they live a happy life? It's unfair to the child to bring that child in the world. But I would like to think that I'm a living testimony. I'm happy. I have a husband. I have two children. My mom loves me. She's here, of course. But I'm just, I want to tell the audience from a child's perspective. And I think that that's the best thing to do because you can always assume and speculate how a child life is.
Right.
But I think the best way to answer that is to speak to a child that that was conceived from rape. So.
And Tanya, let me just throw this in as you begin. A very important point that, and you mentioned this earlier today, but I want to reemphasize this. A child is never a mistake.
No.
And sadly, you hear sometimes people say that this child, and of course, obviously, sometimes people use the term with regards to a child that may have been conceived in rape, but even children that, in a family between a husband and wife, sometimes they say, well, my fourth child was a mistake. A parent should never say that because, number one, it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And even if that person didn't plan the child, God planned the child. So children are never a mistake, and we need to be clear about that.
Yes, that's true. And it goes back to being a mom is really a calling.
That's right.
And I think in today's society, in today's world, with women trying to prove that they're not women, they take the femininity from themselves. They're too busy trying to prove that we can do anything better than men, or we're equal to men, but that's not God's purpose for us.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be equal, but you have to keep the purpose of why God created us. And I think that when it comes to women, there's a disconnect from the word of God. And that's why the world is in the condition it's in now. And that's why the abortion rate is so high, because there's a disconnect,
you know,
with women and the word of God and the purpose, you know, of why we're here. And I think that's the reason we're having so many problems in the world today.
Amen. And, you know, Tanya, often you may hear politicians and others sometimes say that, for example, it's pretty common to hear people say, well, they're against abortion, except in the case of rape. And many times they think that's a good stance, and they think it's an honorable stance. But in reality, that's an unbiblical perspective, and it dishonors to God. It dishonors God for a person to say that.
And I would like to iterate on that, because you have a lot of pastors in the pulpit as well that says in that case, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you believe in the word of God, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then there's no in that case.
That's right.
Like you said, the hand of God is on all conception. And it goes back to the word of God. It's either you're going to believe when he said that all your days were ordained.
Mm-hmm.
So if all your days were ordained by the Lord, that means the conception, when you're born, who you're born to, who your mom is born to, all of your days are ordained. It's not just the good days.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be the will of God for conception to take place, because you have many families who are married,
mm-hmm.
who wants to have a baby, and they can't have a baby.
That's right.
So I would say that it's not a question of right and wrong the way you do it. You know, first do it this way, do it that way, because you have all the children that are born out of wedlock. So if you're going to say that conception is a sin, you have to look at the whole spectrum of what you're saying. You just can't point out one incident and say, well, because this woman was raped and she was conceived, that child is a demon seed, or that child shouldn't be here. And then you have to think about, oh, what kind of life will that child have?
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to say that you can't say that, because all life is ordained by God, regardless of the act of how the child came to be. The blessing is the seed.
That's right.
The blessing is the conception. And I want a lot of people to understand that and to see God work, to see his hand in everything. And you just can't see his hand in some of it and not see his hand in all of it.
That's right. That is so true. Well, again, we're grateful to have Ms. Jefferson, your mom, with us in studio. And
yes.
Again, she's just here to be a support to you. But
mm-hmm.
would you share a little bit more about the surroundings of the situation? Of course, it was a great act of courage
mm-hmm.
on your mom's part just to carry through, because, of course, there was probably so many that wanted to tell her, don't keep this child.
Well, my mom is here, and I love to share this story because she's giving me permission to share this story.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind that I didn't know who my father was until I was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest thing is with my mom, there was a shame with it. Like, I can't let her know. Even if everyone around me knew, there was a shame. If she felt like it was a burden on her, it was a shame. And she felt like she was protecting me. But my mom was raped at 16, right, Mom? She was raped at 16, and I was conceived. And my mom was honest with me. She said she thought about, you know, giving me away, you know, putting me up for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
But she said abortion never was an option.
Mm-hmm.
Even at 16 years old, I mean, you think about what happened to her. She was basically violated.
That's right.
In a way that no woman should be violated. And I'm not condoning rape. That's not what I'm doing. But I am saying this. If she was a 16-year-old child, and you have to understand that as a 16-year-old child, you're still growing mm-hmm. as a person. You're growing to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be raped, that's traumatic. That's
right.
You know, that's a violation. And it just does something to your body, but it does something to your spirit as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then to find out that you're pregnant, and then you're pregnant with the person who has the child of the violator.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she never wanted to, it wasn't even an option to abort me, but she did think about, you know, putting me up for adoption.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I really know that God has a plan for all of us, because she could have put me up for adoption.
But she chose to keep you.
She chose to keep me. And that's the key. That's what I want people to hear. She chose to keep me, a 16-year-old child who's been raped. Mm-hmm. And she kept me. And my mom loved me. She didn't love me any differently from my other brothers and my other sister. Mm-hmm. And she loves me now. And quite honest, I think I'm her favorite. So, mm-hmm. But I won't tell nobody else that. But I think I'm her favorite. But I want people to know that we are normal.
That's right.
This is God's work right here.
Amen.
And when people say that, is my choice. No, it's not your choice. Your body is your choice, but life isn't your choice. Because if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here.
That's right.
And what God has ordained, I don't think no one, lawmakers, the mother, the father, no one has that right to say, it's my choice, I don't want you here, or because I'm not ready for this, I'm not ready for that. But I remind a lot of people that God put the commandments in place for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
If you're out there, and if you're having premarital sex, there's a chance you're going to get pregnant.
That's right.
If you don't want a baby, I would tell anybody, follow the commandments. He put them in place for a reason. He didn't put them here for himself. He put them here for us, to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what's happening. Like, you have a lot of the pastors that's telling their parishioners and people, their sheep, that it's okay in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you think about the young girls that are getting pregnant, who is not from an act of rape,
mm-hmm.
but because they're, you know, having premarital sex, the church rejoices in this.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of teaching the word of God, you're not supposed to have sex. You're supposed to wait.
Wait until you get married.
Mm-hmm. But then they have baby showers at the church. They send out baby invitations. And you cannot teach the word of God and rejoice in wrong with it. It's either it's a straight road. You can't be lukewarm, what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are in leadership and then you're being lukewarm with the word of God, you're actually putting stumble blocks before your members in the church, because you're either going to teach the word of God or you're not going to teach the word of God. And there's a small percentage, believe it or not, of women that's actually having abortions because of rape. A lot of abortions are done because women are having sex and being, I hate to say it, but it's the truth. They're not being responsible. And because we, a people, we put an option out there for them, they feel like this is the option. But if you take away that option and give them the true word of God, I think that a lot of abortions, it wouldn't take place. But you're leaving the option. You're leaving that door there.
That's right.
For
That's
them.
Right. Tanya, you make so many very important points, and one a foundational issue to all of this, as you said, is look to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
God's Word is a clear guide to help us know His will. And again, if men and women weren't engaged in premarital sex, again, many times this wouldn't even be an issue.
Be an issue.
Yet at the same time, it's so important for us to understand that, you know, one of the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt not
kill."
Thou shalt not kill. Proper translation: you shall not murder or take innocent life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very clear. It does not say, except in the case of rape.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any exceptions. It says, you know, we're to not murder. And so it's important for us to know God's word is an accurate guide, even in difficult circumstances,
mm-hmm.
because God can be trusted and relied upon. We're coming up on a break, but on the other side, I'm going to ask if you'll pray for people that maybe have been down that road and may need to seek the forgiveness of the Lord or His help in some way, but we need God's word. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Throughout Scripture, we find passages in which people who have lost God talk about Him. The Philistines were giving Israel a hard time, and the sons of Eli decided that the Israelites should carry the Ark of the Covenant into battle. They figured the Ark was where God dwelt, so if His throne went with them, He'd be there too. Not. They failed to realize that just because they carried the throne, it didn't necessarily mean that they carried the Lord. We must have a personal relationship with God. Viewing God as an abstract is always dangerous. Even His own parents traveled a whole day before they realized that Jesus wasn't there. Regardless of where you travel or what you do, nothing should ever replace His presence. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Brown of Key Life. He was a Bible college student. His wife was sick. He had no money. He prayed and God gave him peace. After his prayer, he went to the mailbox and there was a large check which met his needs. He said later, "I'm so glad I got the peace before I got the provision." Believers are future oriented and God often provides the joy before the journey, the peace before the provision. Isaiah wrote the following words in the midst of a horrible and frightening time for God's people. "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy." The promise of joy gave joy to God's people then, and it still does. You think about that.
Marvin Sapp, the song "Teach My Hands to War." Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guests are Tanya and Artrell Brooks, and their mom, Sister Jefferson, is with us today as well. And Tanya, as we start off this segment, I'm going to ask if you'll pray for listeners who maybe different parts of your story may touch their lives in one way or another, and there may be some that are hurting right now because maybe they didn't make the wise decision they should have according to God's word. Would you pray for those individuals, please?
Yes, sir. Our Father in heaven, we come this day thanking you for your many blessings.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for your grace and your mercy, O Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, we thank you for the cross. Father God, thank we you. Pray right now. We pray for those who are in need of your word, Lord. Thank we you, pray Lord, that as we continue on this journey, that we may be that we may be obedient to your word, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And may your word be a light to our feet, O Lord. And Lord, we pray in for those who feel like they have made a wrong decision and that there is no forgiveness for their wrongness. But you said your grace is sufficient, O Lord.
Thank you.
Lord, we pray and ask that as we go through this journey, Lord, that you may teach us how to do your will, not our will, and that you may teach us how to help your children who are lost, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we just pray and ask that you continue to use us as you will, O Lord. And teach us that on this journey, that it's not about us.
Thank you, Lord.
It's about serving others, O Lord.
Thank
and
you,
Lord, we just pray and ask right now that if it's one, give them the ears to hear your word, O Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And give them the eyes to see your marvelous works.
Yes, Lord.
And let them know that you love us, not just some of us, but all of us.
Yes,
and that's why you sent your son, so that we may have everlasting life. And touch them and let them know, our gracious Father. And these are the prayers we say in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I do thank you and I praise you for the church and for every believer listening. And Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of how to love people, to embrace them where they are. And in the midst of that, to stand on your word, knowing that the truth is the best thing for everybody in mm-hmm. every situation. Help us to never, ever think that truth is unloving, but the most loving thing we can do is give people the truth in love. Help us to courageously and boldly and lovingly do that consistently as the Church of Jesus Christ. Teach us by your Spirit and your Word to be the people of truth, the people of love, the people of mercy, the people of forgiveness you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let me start out to share this, Tanya, before you pick up. You know, it's very important for us to understand as believers that clearly rape is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that we not try to sugarcoat that in any way. And the fact is, sadly, rape and what people call date rape is too common in our society. But it's a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And even when it happens within a household, the fact is many times there are family members that should be jailed because it is a crime and it's a brutal crime. Yet at the same time, it's important for us to know, too, that when people say that a child that's been conceived in rape should be aborted, it's a crazy perspective, because the fact is, why punish the baby for the crime of the father?
Mm-hmm.
The baby hasn't done anything wrong. And the Word of God clearly lets us know, again, it applies across the board, you shall not take innocent life. So we need to know the Word of God and stand on the Word of God no matter what. So, but would you at this time, Tanya, pick up and share, would you share some about your experience when you first learned about just the fact that you were conceived in rape and just how you dealt with that in your life?
Well, I also like to talk about being a child, even at that age, even the enemy will try to trick your mind, especially when you're not walking with the Lord. So that's why it's important for women to understand that being a mom is a calling.
That's right.
And you have to understand when the word says that you're supposed to train up your child in the way that he shall go, training up a child in the way is the Lord's way.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to train him up that way. So at that time, which my mom says I can speak honestly, we didn't have a walk with Christ. So when you don't have a walk with Christ, anything that comes your way is hard for you to handle because you're dealing with it on your own.
That's right.
You don't understand that these battles are not for us to carry anyway. So when you don't know him, a lot of things that you carry, you deal with on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So when I found out, immediately my mind went into, oh, I'm not supposed to be here. I was a mistake.
And again, you were 16.
I was 16. And I'm thinking, well, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm a mistake. There's no way that my mama could love me, even if before then she had never shown me anything to prove to me that she didn't love me. But because of the act and how I came to be, being honest, in my mind, how can a woman love a child of a person who's done this to, who's violated her?
Mm-hmm.
So immediately, I kind of went into a depression. I even started seeing my mom differently because I thought she couldn't love me, just to be honest about it. But I want, you know, people to know that it's not easy, but with the grace of God, you know, you can withstand anything. But I saw my mom differently. Our relationship was differently. And then I even became depressed, and I even went into, I was suicidal. Like, I wanted to end everything. I've even tried to do it. And I remember praying and asking God. I ran away from home, actually, because I was in a lot of pain, a lot of turmoil. I just wasn't happy. And my soul was really crying out when you think about it. So I wrote a note. I ran away, and I told my mom, you know, I said, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't feel like I should be here. And I never forget, I wrote a note, and I was praying, and I was, like, just waiting to big truck, because where we lived at the time, the highway was really busy. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a day that didn't go by that you would see big trucks just in and out, carrying loads and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I remember, you know, praying and crying, but not knowing why I was crying, and asking the Lord to end it, begging Him to end it. And He had something differently for me. He had a different path for me. Mm-hmm. He knew there was purpose, and He knew that that purpose is me sitting here today.
That's right.
And through the grace of God, I'm sitting. So it wasn't easy accepting what I've learned, but with God, I've learned to accept it. I've learned that if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here today. And me and my mom has an awesome relationship, and it took time. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is realizing that it doesn't matter what the world say. What matters is the word of God.
Amen.
And if I would have listened to the world, I would have continued to believe that my mom can't love me the way she loves the other children. Mm-hmm. And it's been a journey, but I've learned that I am worthy. I was conceived with a purpose and for a purpose. The act was wrong. And I reiterate that the act was wrong.
That's right.
And I'm not holding it up, but we have to understand that life is innocent. Like you said before, Pastor, we can't hold the child accountable for the act of the father. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus didn't do that with us. You
That's
understand?
Right.
Like, we're here.
That's right.
Imagine if He said, well, I'm not going to get on this cross because I know the ones that's out there that's persecuting me, that's betrayed me. Like, you're going to do the same thing. I mean, mm-hmm. which we are doing now. We're disobeying the word of God. So imagine if He would have said, no, I'm going to punish y'all for the sins of your fathers. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be here today. So I kind of look at it in that perspective. So then another good thing, I've learned to forgive my father. A lot of people don't talk about that itself. Mm-hmm. Like, what happens if He wants to get to know you, or if you talk to Him? Actually, if I've talked to Him, mm-hmm. I've forgiven Him. Because I understand that when people don't know God, they do things. There's That's a perversion right. in their spirits. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand that what we're dealing with isn't fleshly, it's spiritually. And sometimes people need to hear, I forgive you.
That's right.
People need to understand. Yeah, so I forgive Him. I've talked with Him, and I expressed how I felt. And I told Him that, you know, I pray that He finds forgiveness in Himself, because it's easy for me to forgive, but He has to forgive Himself. So the journey is worth it. And I tell anybody, I'm not happy about what happened to my mom, but I thank God for using what happened into a blessing. So that's what I would say. Yes.
Amen. Amen. And so as far as that is concerned, so like now you're involved in, now it was about, you said it's about 2 years ago when you came to know the Lord. Is that right?
I really came to know the Lord about 2 years ago. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago when All I accepted right. Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Like mm-hmm. I just didn't know of Him. Like I have an intimate relationship with Him and I truly know Him.
Amen.
I just don't believe I actually know that He's real. And it's through my testimony, through my trials that I've come to know Him as my Savior.
Amen. Amen. And once you came to know Christ, then can you share how you came to really see everything in perspective better once you came to know Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes. And this is the thing, how I tell people, it's easy to say that I can say that we are devout Christians, a lot of us. We can be devout, but do we truly believe in something?
That's right.
Devout is getting up, going to work, working for a paycheck. Devout is you need food in the house. You know you got to go grocery shop. These are routine things. These are traditional things. So one night I was laying in my bed and I asked, and I was like at a point where I really didn't believe. I'm just being honest. Like, I don't see any fruit of my labor, Lord. I'm saved now. It's about me now. Like, I shouldn't be going through this. I shouldn't be doing that. And then the Lord spoke to me and he was like, and this is so true. I couldn't find that one reason I didn't need God. I couldn't find that one reason. And I knew then that if I couldn't find one reason why I didn't need him, there were millions of reasons why I did need him. And him just being so loving and forgiving. And that's what I want people to see, that even if you have had an abortion done, if you're thinking about doing an abortion, that God is forgiving.
That's right.
Mean, he's really forgiving. And it's easy for me to say that, but I've had to endure some things in life, and I can tell you that he's truly forgiven. And he loves us. I mean, I have two sons, and if someone asks me to sin, can you sacrifice one of them? I wouldn't dare give one of them up. Not even from my mama, my husband, so complete strangers. So that just shows you the love that he has for us.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, Tanya, I really appreciate just the fact that you shared the how that, like, having only come to know the Lord just a couple years ago, you went through a lot even before you came to know the Lord. And it was by the grace of God that you're still here, though, because, again, many other person may very well have taken their own life with all that you've been through. So thank God that you did make that all important step. But I want to share with every person that's listening. There might be someone listening who's maybe been through some similar situations as Tanya has been. You've been through difficulty. We live in a society where lots of people, for different reasons, become suicidal. And whether they're teenagers, whether they're young adults, middle-aged, older individuals. But sadly, suicide is a big tragedy in our culture. Or maybe you just recognize that you're not saved today and you want to get saved. Well, today is a good day to get saved. Today is a good day to give your life to Christ. And I want to invite you, if you'll take a moment, to pray this prayer of salvation with me. Again, today is a good day to get saved. And remember, Jesus really is the answer to every problem, every challenge, every difficulty. Would you pray this prayer with me as you listen? Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for loving me so much that you came into this world. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong. Lord, forgive me for all the wrong I've done. Lord, I open my heart and my life to you. I believe Jesus came into the world for me. I believe he lived for me. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that 3 days later he rose from the dead. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You told us in the Word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Make me brand new. Help me to live my whole life to you. And Lord, I entrust my all into your hands. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please get in touch with us. We'd really like to touch base with you. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. I'd like to talk with you and send you some literature that'll help you to really begin to grow in your faith. All right. In-studio guests are Tanya and Artrell Brooks. We'll be right back after this break.
One of the big issues in the presidential campaign was religious liberty. Clearly, Donald Trump, our now president, took a strong stand on defending and promoting religious liberty. In fact, he's considering an executive order which will greatly enhance religious freedom and religious liberty for Christian business people in particular in this country. We encourage you to sign our petition at AFA.net. Go to AFA.net and sign our petition, and I will personally deliver these to the White House.
Abraham Hamilton III.
But Abraham, the racism today is equally as bad as it was in the 1860s. Foolishness! Racism is simply an extension of the corrupt sin nature that is inherited from Adam. Oppression, if you will, it goes all the way back to two cats named Cain and Abel.
Listen to Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 3 o'clock Central on Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says our eternal future is a free gift, but there's a price tag on the present that not everybody is willing to pay. He'll use an illustration that just might hit home as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Many of you, like me, are constantly battling weight. You know, constantly on this diet, that diet. Going to the gym and merely looking at the equipment won't change you. Studying the books on weight loss won't change you. Memorizing them and quoting them will not change you. Taking notes at a nutritional seminar will not change you. If you want to be physically changed, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some cake, some ice cream, some pies, some cobblers. It's going to cost you some candy and some chocolate. And I'm getting upset right now just talking about it. It's going to cost you something beyond the information if you want to be changed in your weight. Jesus has made it clear that discipleship and our experience with him on earth cost. To experience God in the nasty here and now and not have to wait for the sweet by and by is going to require something from you and me. Heaven has been covered by the blood. Earth requires a price.
For an in-depth, practical look at what it really means to put the Lord first, ask for details on Tony's teaching series, Restoring God to His Rightful Place, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of Nicole C. Mullen, the song Redeemer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guests are Artrell and Tanya Brooks, and their mom, Mrs. Jefferson, as well. Grateful to have each of them. Artrell is at the mic with us now, and Artrell is going to share a little bit about his life and his story as well. And let me say before Artrell comes to share that they have a ministry, a growing ministry, where they're reaching out to people that have been through hurt in different ways, you know. And one of the reasons why in a ministry like that is so important is because we live in a world full of trauma, a world where there are people that are hurting all over the place. And, you know, you think of this, one of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. And one of the reasons why he's called the Comforter is because life hurts. Life is pressure. Life is abrasive in so, so many ways. But the Holy Spirit knows how to comfort and encourage anyone in any circumstance. So thank God for the ministry of the Comforter. But at this time, Artrell, would you share, tell us, our listeners, a little bit about yourself and Artrell, of course, and Tanya, our husband and wife, and they're involved in ministry together. But would you tell us, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself as well?
Okay, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Artrell Brooks. I'm the husband of Tanya Brooks and the father of Yamakaze and Tibus Brooks. I'd like to share my story also. It's similar to my wife's. I was conceived by a rape also. My mother was raped when she was a teenager. I'm almost the same age my mother-in-law was, maybe just a little older.
Okay. And you all did not know that when you married, though?
No, we didn't.
Didn't know each other's story?
No, we did not.
And so she said, your mom was 17, did you say?
Yeah, she was 17, because I think it's 18 years between me and my mother.
And you only learned about that about a year and a half ago?
About 2 years ago.
About 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And what was your journey like when you first learned that?
More of hurt, concern for my mother, more so than myself. It was always a mystery who my father was when I was growing up. And I think she kept it hidden from me because I think she felt like it would hurt me more than it hurt her, since she had dealt with it for years. But as a child or a teenager, I remember asking her who my father was, but she would say my sister's father was my father, but I knew differently. I knew at a very young age that he wasn't my father, but I think he just decided to try to be a father to me.
He was a father figure in your life, basically.
Briefly, he was. But I really just grew up without a father figure, since they kind of like went their separate ways. Okay. Probably a few years after my sister was born. I also have a younger sister, 2 years younger than myself.
Okay. So the two of you learned about the fact that both of you had been conceived and raped close to the same time?
About the same time, yeah.
Well, of course, Tanya, you learned when you were 16. But as far as you only learned about a year and a half ago,
about 2 years ago.
So you had no idea that you all had that in common when you married?
No, I did not.
Okay. And you all have been married how many years?
9 years.
June. Okay, then. Okay. And, well, you know, I think of this too, Artrell, and, you know, of course, I'll just mention to our listeners that we'll be having you all come back, and you're going to be sharing more about your story in the not-too-distant future then. We're looking forward to the two of you coming back. But today, you all, tell our listeners about the ministry God has called you to and what you all are doing ministry-wise right now.
Okay. Well, as far as, like, when I say this, I speak with truth and honesty, but I've seen within the church itself, the building, that you have a lot of broken people that's in the church.
That's right.
That comes in broken and leave out broken. There's a lot of people that are broken, and in the churches, I don't see a ministry that deals with brokenness, hurt, pain. You have a lot of people that's in the church Sundays that's thinking about suicide. You have a lot of people in the church that, you know, have no idea how to deal with pain. And then I hate to say it, but it's the truth. Then you have a lot of pastors that don't know how to address the need in church as far as hurt. So when God called me, I told him that I would be faithful. And the ministry is not about us serving ourselves, but the ministry is about serving others. And I feel like if we can go inside of the church and we can educate our members, really feed them the word of God, then they will know that forgiveness isn't just for some or few. Forgiveness is for us all.
That's
and
right.
I think that's why a lot of people, they hold on to hurt, they hold on to pain. So our ministry is to go out and let people know, because the biggest thing is people don't believe that Jesus died for them.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like they have to get right first in order
that's
to
right.
receive Christ. And that's
mm-hmm.
not why he died.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also see that, I was telling my husband, that within the church, we have a system where first it's church, and then it's religion, and then it's Christ.
Hmm.
Shouldn't that be flipped around? Shouldn't it be Christ first?
Christ should be first. That's
and
right.
then the church, and then religion. Because Christ didn't teach us religion. Christ taught us how to love. Christ taught us how to be servants. And when he died on the cross, that's the ultimate service right there.
Mm-hmm.
A service you can never pay back. And so in the ministry, we have a lot of people that are hurting, and God has called us into that ministry to help and to shed light up on that. Because, Pastor Parker, when I say this, I mean it with the utmost respect. We can take up tithes and we can take money for pastor's appreciation, and we can do the choir ministry, we can do the youth ministry, the men's ministry, we can do all of this, but it doesn't do any good if the people that's in these ministries are broken.
Mm-hmm.
If they truly don't know Christ, what good is that?
That's right. And, you know, you touch on so many very important points to be mindful of, in that, like, you know, God's word is the word of God is a guidebook for all of life.
Mm-hmm.
And God's word, in either direct statement or in principle, it addresses
mm-hmm.
every issue, every problem, every hurt, every difficulty in life. But it's to be applied. And for many people, they don't know how to take the word of God and apply it to their challenge, their unique difficulty, their hurt. And God's word speaks to all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we as the church must grow in our and mature in our understanding of how to take the word of God and love people with it, to share it with people, to help them to come to know first how to be saved,
mm-hmm.
but then teach them, how do you forgive when someone has hurt you?
Yes.
How do you ask for forgiveness? But also when someone's going through a difficulty in their marriage, or when a parent is having difficulty dealing with their child, or whatever the challenge, all kind of challenges. But again, the church must grow in our understanding of the ability to minister to a hurting, hurting world.
And then the church must also separate itself from the world. We can't be a part of the world and be the church as well.
That's right.
When you have a lot of worldly influences coming inside of the church, we can't grow the way the Lord wants us to when we're trying to live a worldly, when we're trying to bring the world inside of the church. There's supposed to be separation. We're supposed to be set apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I see in that the churches don't want to be set apart from the world. The churches want to be lukewarm as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the pastors in the pulpit that's living a lukewarm life, then isn't the sheep supposed to follow the shepherd?
Well, sadly, sometimes they follow shepherds that aren't doing what they should be doing too.
Yes.
So but where the shepherd's supposed to follow Christ as close as he or
yes.
she can, and the people are to follow Christ. And the shepherd should be a good example, too. So I tell you what, Artrell, would you take time to pray specifically for men? You know, one of the issues in our culture is a lot of men run from the church. They don't want to have anything to do with the church. Many churches are full of and understand there's nothing against the women, because it's wonderful that they're there. But lots of churches are full of women and just mm-hmm. a few men here and there. A lot of men feel like they don't need church, or they don't take time, and that's sad, because we need Jesus more than the air that we breathe. So would you pray for men? Pray for men in particular.
Okay. Lord Jesus, we come to you once again today, Lord Jesus, asking that you guide our mind spiritually,
thank you,
and our body spiritually, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
I come to you as a man that was lost once before I gave my life to you. I come to you asking that you also extend that spiritual service to all men that are lost and hurting, Lord Jesus, and looking for answers
yes,
from God.
Jesus,
I come to you asking that you enlighten them spiritually of the purpose why we were formed from the dust and
thank
shared
God.
The breath of life with man. God did. I also ask that you just bless them the way you blessed me spiritually, so that they won't be lost and they will know the responsibility that you have given us, and the privilege also, Lord Jesus, more so than responsibility, but just continue to guide all my brothers in your holy name. Continue to bless me so I may be a beacon of light. And
thank you, Lord,
that every man that hears my voice will be able to understand that it is possible to do things that seem impossible once they develop a spiritual relationship with you and turn their life over to you, that you will guide them, that you will be the father that wasn't there for them, that you will be also that guide that shows them what a man is truly is spiritually, Lord Jesus. And I know that this world can really, really take a toll on us because I've also lived here on earth. So I know the pulling and tugging of the flesh, but the spirit is a whole lot deeper than the flesh will ever know. Until you just decide to be led by God, you're going to always just, you will find it hard to just live this life because the flesh does want what it wants when it wants. And I'm speaking from personal experience.
Thank you, Lord.
But I pray that you will continue to bless them the way you bless me and enlighten them spiritually, Lord Jesus. Continue to bless us and guide us on this spiritual journey. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, if someone wants to get in touch with you all and learn more about your ministry, how would they get in touch?
They can reach us at Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S, 2400 at Comcast.net. And they can reach out to us through email with a brief message and a phone number, and we will get back in touch with them.
Okay, share the email one more time.
It's Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S, Brooks, 2400, at Comcast.net.
Amen, amen. And before our time is over, would you also, Tanya, would you take time just to pray for women, whatever they may be going through as well? Lift them up in prayer, please.
Our gracious Father in heaven, we come this day thanking you. We thank you for your mighty works, O Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, I come humbly as a servant right now, Lord. I pray and ask, Lord Jesus,
thank you,
that those who may be lost and have no understanding of your word, Lord, that you give them understanding, Lord. And Lord, as women, I pray that we understand our purpose.
Yes, Lord.
Understand that the gift that you've given us to bear life, O Lord. And Lord, I pray that we may turn from our own selfish ways. And that we may see your goodness, Lord.
Thank
you. I pray and ask that you raise us up to be women, godly women.
Thank you, Lord.
And that we realize that your word is true.
Yes, Lord.
And teach us how to get in your word and understand your word as women.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, I just pray that we may continue to grow in your word, that we may continue to raise our children as you directed and instructed us to raise them. And that we may be the carriers of life.
Yes,
and then we understand that it's a blessing. And Lord, we pray and ask of these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Artrell and Tanya, for being with us today. Thank you for Ms. Jefferson for joining us as well. And may God bless you as you continue your work in ministry. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Appreciate you joining us. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.